You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I speak with National Coordinator of the School Strike for Climate, Sophie Hanford, ahead of their third protest on the 27th of September. I asked Sophie on the movement's demands and changes after criticism swallowing the last protest for alienating Pacifica voices due to the timing with Polyfest. She also discusses the implications on local body elections with this increased awareness of climate crisis. I begin by asking her to outline what's new with the upcoming protest.
This Friday we have our third climate strike in Aotearoa. This one is an intergenerational strike, so the past two on March 15th and May 24th have pretty much been mobilising mainly young people, but this time we're calling on adults to join us. So that's workers, parents, grandparents, and anyone and everyone to stand in solidarity with the school strikers and our demands as well. So we're really looking forward to this Friday. It's been 4 months since the last one, so it's kind of good to be really mobilising again, and we're pretty convinced that this will be our biggest one yet.
Are the demands different from the last protests?
No, the demands are very similar. We have added on a fifth demand, though, so our demands still stand as being for the New Zealand Parliament to declare a nationwide climate emergency to acknowledge the magnitude and the urgency at which we need to act on the climate crisis. The second one being cross-party support for an ambitious zero carbon bill, which is still relevant, and we made it very clear in our oral submission that that's something that we're putting our weight behind as School Strike for Climate. The third one being ceasing all exploration and extraction of fossil fuels in Aotearoa. The fourth one being investing in a regenerative and renewable economy, so transitioning to jobs which will be around for my generation and when we're the main kind of demographic in the workforce. And then the fifth demand, which we've added in the lead up to this strike in collaboration with the Pacific Climate Warriors, so we developed this demand together, is to ensure that New Zealand is doing everything in their power to limit warming to 1.5 degrees as an obligation to our Pacific neighbours who are already on the front lines of the impacts of climate change, and also further to that, developing a plan for climate survivors to migrate to New Zealand with dignity if and when that becomes necessary. So really making sure that we're supporting those Pacific Island neighbours and the obligation that we have as a developed country to be able to do more, because ultimately one of the biggest injustices with climate change is those who have done the least to cause this crisis are reaping the impact and are seeing the effects right now.
Because I know that there were some criticisms for the last climate change protest that was at the same time as Polyfest, which meant that it left out some of the Pacific voices that could have been at the protest. So for this time round, is it a much more inclusive movement?
Yeah, 100%. We're obviously still not perfect, and we acknowledge that there's always room to do more, but we totally respect the concerns that were highlighted on the project, I believe it was, and we've been in conversation with the young woman that made that kind of made those comments, and are working alongside her now, which is really awesome. And in Wellington, we're actually co-hosting the whole day with the Pacific Climate Warriors. We'll have Cook Island drumming when people are arriving at Parliament. Our co-MCs, someone from School Strike for Climate, and then someone from the Pacific Climate Warriors. We're ensuring that we've got buses from South Auckland to the Auckland strike. So we're really trying to address some of those concerns, because we totally see them as well within the movement. So yeah, really trying to work alongside the voices that most need to be uplifted in this conversation, which are the Pacifica voices.
It's great to know that there are so many voices involved, but is there support from schools, is there support from institutions for this movement?
Yeah. So it's kind of been interesting throughout the process of organising the school strikes. Obviously some schools are very supportive, and you know, will make exceptions for those that want to come along and strike. And, you know, we'll ensure that kids have justified absences and those kinds of things. We found universities this time around have been very supportive. For example, Victoria University allowed students to reschedule tests and shift deadline, assignment deadlines, which is awesome.
But Auckland Uni is not.
No, Auckland Uni is the last remaining, yeah, which is interesting, because they did announce that they would divest from fossil fuels, but then still couldn't quite commit to supporting the strike.
Yeah.
So we're still yet to kind of get to keep Auckland Uni over the line, but it's been cool to see the rest of them come on board. In terms of unions, super supportive. All of the unions that we've talked to have been willing to support in ways that we see fit and the ways that they see fit as well. So, you know, the CTU's been awesome in kind of leading this initiative called People Power for Our Planet. So they've created a platform where workers who might not be able to make it can pledge their support to the school strikers, and they've created some guidelines for workers who are wanting to kind of talk to their boss about attending the school strikes. So that's been really cool to see. And I mean, ultimately, we didn't really know, you know, when approaching unions what the response would be like in terms of how much they would be able to support, but we're really grateful, and they've really supported us a lot, which is awesome. So obviously you'll have some schools that aren't supportive. We've seen that this time as well, but the majority is supportive. So
how do you stay positive, and how do you keep the movement going?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I mean, the thing is, like, the movement is pretty big. I mean, under the surface, there's about 50 of us organising these strikes. And we've got people in places, you know, such as Wellington and Auckland, Christchurch, Dunedin, but also in places like Cuttermere and Dunsandel and Wanaka and so many smaller places as well. And because I think we're all kind of united for this common vision for what the future could look like if we take action on climate change, and we're all really focused and committed to that, we just get on so well. And I've honestly just made so many lifelong friends through the school strike movement. And someone was saying last night on our final call before the strike, we're going to have another one this week actually, but just that it really does feel like a whānau. And that's the amazing thing about the movement, and I think we kind of all just support and uplift each other because we all know what each other is going through when we're having these difficult conversations with schools and you know, with sometimes our own family and, you know, things like that. And we're talking with unions, and like, we all kind of know what each other's going through because we've all been through that process in our own areas. So it's pretty amazing because we can all learn a whole lot from each other, even though some of us are 12 and some of us are 18 and, you know, some are 14, and so there's quite a big age range. But I just get along so well that it we kind of just keep on fueling each other, I guess.
Because it's such a big worldwide movement at the moment. What is it particular about New Zealand Voices or climate change for our community that you want to push through with these protests?
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, it's awesome with the international movement how big it is, and we've seen that on the 20th of September with the strikes internationally, and most of those countries will be striking again on the 27th, so that's really, really awesome. In New Zealand, obviously, we have those four demands which are specific to the New Zealand context. So, you know, some countries that are striking internationally, their parliament has already declared climate emergency, ours hasn't, and also another very important part of the movement for the New Zealand context is engagement and honouring engagement with Tangata Whenua and co-designing, you know, action on climate change, but also honouring the principles of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So making sure that also within the school strike movement that that's a big part of what we do. So I think that's a really important part for the New Zealand context, and also with our Pacific Island neighbours, obviously, you know, feeling climate change right now. And, you know, we're talking about fighting for our future, but there are actually so many people who are fighting for their right now and fighting for their each and every day because of climate change. That's an important thing to recognise, that as a developed country, we have the ability to do more and go beyond, you know, what the bare minimum is to say below 1.5 degrees, and we actually have the ability to be a leader. So, you know, Jacinda, I think today has spoken at the UN summit, so we were really hoping that she would stand up there and, you know, acknowledge that, New Zealand is taking a tiny bit of action. You know, we've got the Zero Carbon Bill going through Parliament, but there's actually more that, obviously more that New Zealand can be doing, and more that the world can be doing in terms of taking climate change into account with every decision and really recognising the crisis that we're in. So, yeah, I guess it's interesting because we are a relatively small country, but New Zealand has fifth highest per capita emissions in the OECD, so we actually have a lot more work to do, and some people think that we're one of the best countries in the world for climate action, but I think the message to send is that we all have more to do, and till we can be sure that the future of this planet will be safeguarded for generations to come, then we're not doing enough.
Mm, I think New Zealand really carries that clean, green, tidy Kiwi image, but I guess the unfortunate reality is a lot of our councils still haven't declared a climate emergency.
Yeah,
what's currently at play there in terms of our politics and our governances?
So you're exactly right. Quite a few of the local councils around New Zealand still haven't declared a climate emergency, and some still haven't signed the local government leaders' climate declaration, which is pretty much just an acknowledgement that they understand that climate change is happening and that humans are the cause of that. So that's also quite interesting, with local government elections happening right now as well. We're in an interesting space where Stuff has released some information on the different candidates and their thoughts on climate action and things like that. I know in Kapiti, I'm actually running for local government this year as well, but there were 30 of us that filled out this climate survey, and only 5 of us scored over 60% in terms of acknowledging the climate crisis and taking urgent action. So it'll be interesting to see whether the vote from people comes through really clearly as wanting action on climate change. We might see lots more candidates who get into council that are really pushing for this. So I think we're in an interesting space at the moment too, with the strikes this Friday and voting still being open for a couple more weeks after the strike.
There's a huge chunk of people who won't take the climate crisis seriously. So moving on beyond the protest on Friday, what are you hoping to achieve after that?
So obviously, this is actually just the beginning of the school strike for climate movement in New Zealand. We've been going for 6 months, and it feels like so much longer than that. So we're committed to continuing on. You know, we're committed to being in this for the long run, because we know that the climate crisis isn't going to go away unless we do take action. And because there's so much at stake, the cost of not taking action is massive. So for us, we haven't kind of yet set in stone plan for directly after September 27th. There's talk of another international strike day in November. Yeah, I guess because we've done 3 strikes so far, there's always room to look into potentially other tactics that we could use to kind of leverage some change.
What's your expected turnout for this coming Friday?
Oh,
I know, it's hard to say. Yeah.
On the first strike, when we were asked this, we said 500. We said 500 in Wellington, and there were 6,000. So it's obviously really hard to tell. More than 20,000.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.